Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
067 The Fan. Fired up to get to the Rude Guest Hotline. Get our friend Mr. Steve Sands on the line from Golf Channel.
Sandsy.
Sandsy, what's up, bud?
Yeah, I feel like Mariano Rivera's about to close out a game.
I mean, the Nats could sure use him.
Did you get close to the rough?
A couple of losses in a row to the Rockies. Yikes.
Yep.
Dude, I mean, people don't all know what a crazy D.C. sports fan you are, but we do. You know, people are pissed here, and they're specifically pissed at Davey Martinez. You lose 10 in a row and 5 in a row are to the Marlins and the Rockies. I think all cards are on the table. Where are you at with everything going on in Nats Town?
Well, since we're a couple days removed from Father's Day, in the immortal words of the great Ed Sands, who left us last year, everything in life is about leadership. He used to say that to us all the time. I got news for you. Rizzo's, he's got handcuffs on. Martinez didn't forget how to manage. The learners quit on this organization after we won the World Series. That's it. Wait, what are they supposed to do? That roster's not that great. The budget's not high enough. They act like we're a small market town team. It's ridiculous. It all stems from the top as far as what's going on. To me, in my opinion, as to how the Nationals have conducted business here in the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, we all know, though, Steve, owners don't get fired. We just experienced 27
Correct.
Years of that. So,
Correct.
What's going to what happens or what needs to happen to get things back in order?
Well, I don't think it needs to happen, but Martinez is going to get fired because you just can't keep losing, you know, and losing and losing. That's just not the way it works in pro sports. And I get that. There's accountability for everybody. Mm-hmm. And you're right, B. Mitch. The owners don't get fired. The owners run the show. And as long as the learners are there, there's no way, unless they decide to turn things around and spend a little bit of money and act like we're a big market team and pretend that the TV deal is still the way it used to be and the dollars aren't flowing in. I think that Martinez is going to be in trouble here, which is unfortunate because I think he's a really good manager. And I think that Rizzo, you know, can't reach his full potential, which is immense, man. You see that roster in the last decade,
how
great
that
roster was? That was Rizzo who put that together, man. Mm-hmm. And if you're not allowed to continue to do that, well, then clearly Martinez and the team are not going to perform well, which means the manager's going to get fired because players don't get fired either. And Rizzo's in a tough spot, and that's just the way it works. But unfortunately, I think Davey has 1 foot out the door, if not both feet right now.
Dude, I totally agree. It's tough because you lose 10 in a row, you open the door to getting fired, period.
Yep.
But he's not the problem. You fire him, you think they're going to rattle off a 15-game win streak because Davey's gone? Because I don't. It's the roster. I mean, just look at the roster from 2017 to 2025, and it's just not at all a commitment to winning. I totally agree with you, Steve.
It's ridiculous. I'm not saying that we're the Yankees and the Dodgers, and we're not saying we're New York and L.A.
Right.
But, my gosh, we are not a small market franchise. And
no.
I just spent a week in Pittsburgh, right? Our hotel, you guys have been to Pittsburgh. Our hotel, I love that city. I think it's really cool. It's a great sports town. And the way their stadiums are right there on the river and overlooking downtown are spectacular. And obviously their fans care about their teams as much as you can possibly care about any teams in any city. And just look at the Steelers fans when they take over every building they go to on the road.
Totally.
The Pirates Stadium is so gorgeous, and our hotel was literally overlooking it, overlooking the Roberto Clemente Bridge and the Allegheny, looking straight into PNC Park. They were in town earlier that week when we were there for Oakmont last week.
Yeah.
There was nobody there. The Pirates stink. I mean, the Nationals and the learners treat the team and the city and the fan base as if we're the Marlins and the Rays and the Pirates and the Royals and these small market franchises, which I have no problem with small market franchises, but my gosh, why is DC running itself like it's a small market? I just think it's a shame, and it's killing the fans, and it's killing Martinez, it's killing Rizzo, and it's killing the players. It's just not fair.
I agree. One, were you staying at that Renaissance in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, dude, that's an awesome hotel. But two,
yeah, it was awesome.
To your point, what's even worse about this to me is it's not like we didn't see the Lerner family spend. They spent.
They did it before.
They won, and then they just decided to pull the plug on everything. And yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, maybe there's shifting family dynamics. I know the kind of the patriarch passed away. I'm guessing there's some, you know, when you go from one dude in charge of everything to whatever there are, four or five siblings that all are supposed to have some share of ownership, I'm guessing that gets pretty complicated. I just wish they would sell, because they've said they wanted to sell. Just sell it, and let's all move forward.
They stripped it all down, man, just so they could sell it. And then COVID hit, and then all kinds of stuff happened. And, you know, now they're kind of, you know, in this murky area where baseball doesn't really know what it's doing as far as TV contracts and money coming in. So, you know, everybody's kind of on hold as far as the right. sale goes. But, my gosh. The team was so good. I'm not saying you're going to sustain that all throughout time, by no means. But we just watched a Stanley Cup champion, a three-in-a-row Stanley Cup final participant, back-to-back Stanley Cup champions now, in a small market relatively, in a city that literally can't even freeze water, let alone stand on ice.
Right.
And I just think it's insane how some of these owners – make moves and care, and some of these owners do not. And, you know, for a long time, I didn't like the fact that, you know, the Lerners weren't spending money and treating us like small market, but now it's gotten to the point where they're not relevant, really. You know, I mean, I know that the weather's been garbage, and I've been watching these games on TV, and the weather's garbage. There's nobody in the stands because of the weather, but also because of the product, man.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You know, you don't offer Bryce Harper. Professional sports. You don't offer deferred contracts. That's not how it works in professional sports, unless it's a Shohei Ohtani $700 million kind of deal. You know, that's a really nice deal, which is weird to say for the Dodgers. Yeah. But for the Lerners to do what they did with, think of the roster that we had there. My gosh. And they're all gone, and they're all elsewhere, and they're all getting paid. And I just find it abysmal to watch them on a nightly basis and realize what they could be, because we've already seen what they can be when the Lerners care. And again, I don't know their financials, but you can't tell me when that building was filled for the better part of a decade and they were going to playoff games and playoff series after playoff series of the World Series that they were losing money. They couldn't have been losing money
totally
in that regard. And golly, it's like sitting at a $5 blackjack table in Vegas. Yeah, you'll have a good time, but if you really want to actually make some money, you might want to up the ante.
Yep.
So I don't know what the Lerners are doing, but I don't like it. It's not fair as a fan.
I'll tell you this, if they think that they want to make top dollar when they sell, you might want to have a winning product.
Yeah.
we talk about John Leahy all the time. He will help you spruce your house up a little bit to look good, and then you get top dollar. Well, if you spruce your team up, then you can sell it for top dollar. But if it's not you're not getting top dollar.
That's exactly right. Just look, this is not the NFL, okay? No matter how he tried to burn the house down with the Skins, there was no way that the Commanders weren't going to be worth top dollar to another person who was buying the team, because the NFL is a separate category. But when you get into baseball, you see nobody in the stands. You see a payroll real low. You see TV ratings real low. You see a funky TV deal nationally and locally. You're just not going to get top dollar. The only way you're getting top dollar is, as you said, Brian, you dress the house up a little bit. I just don't like what they're doing. I love them, and they're our team.
Right.
But my gosh, come on now.
It to me, rock bottom was last year in desperate search of some pop in the lineup. Mike Rizzo was forced to sign Joey Gallo to a one-year, $5 million deal. Gallo was terrible.
And defer that.
They deferred a one-year, $5 million deal. Like, what the hell are we doing here?
Seriously, man. Come on.
All right, let's switch gears. We're talking with our friend Steve Sands. You can watch his work at the Golf Channel. Sandsy, I think it was a challenge because of the weather and everything in Pittsburgh. And I'm not just saying this because my affiliation with him. I thought the NBC coverage of the U.S. Open was phenomenal. I thought you did a great job. I thought Tirico was great. I really enjoyed it. Golf Channel into NBC. I was watching USA at 8 a.m. It was terrific. What was it like being up there at a course that famous and that difficult, and maybe without kind of the mega stars on the leaderboard that some were expecting?
Well, first of all, about the coverage, thank you. That's very kind of you. It's a hell of a production. As you know, it's a crazy, crazy week. Rewarding week, but it's a wild week. And everybody I know, maybe even you, everybody I know kept saying, hey, is it on USA? Is it on Peacock? Is it on NBC? And I'm like, all three. And they're like, what are you on? I said, all three. I'll be on NBC, I'll be on Peacock, I'll be on USA. I said, it's just one of those kind of weeks where we have coverage wall to wall. And you know,
but I love having the options. I love being able to watch it starting first thing in the morning.
Yeah,
I'm with you. It's fun, man. It's a great, great time. I always enjoy doing it. Look, the field is the field, and then the leaderboards are the leaderboards. You know you have a great field. It's the U.S. Open. How leaderboards shape up, you just don't know. And sometimes you get crazy horsepower atop a leaderboard. Other times you don't get the biggest names in the sport. I actually thought it was a better leaderboard than people realize. Sam Burns is a fabulous player. He's been a Ryder Cup.
Got a great story.
You know, Victor Hovland is one of the great young players in the sport. J.J. Spahn is an underdog. You always need an underdog. You have to have David and Goliath in sports. And then Scheffler made a bit of a run. Rahm made a little bit of noise. You know, I thought it was a better leaderboard than perhaps most people realized at the time. And then the best player won, and the guy actually won the tournament, the championship. He didn't, you know, nobody lost it, which I always think is a great thing in golf. It happens all the time in golf. Guys lose events almost as much as they win one. And I thought it was a really, really strong event with an amazing finish. I think the USGA goofed it up a little bit. And I think J.J. Spahn bailed and causing a Monday morning finish with a playoff. So it had everything last week, and it was a lot of fun. And Oakmont is a monster, man. It's such a great golf course, a worthy U.S. Open venue. I thought it was a really cool week.
Do you think more courses try to I know they can't do the difficulty of Oakmont, but they've tried to lengthen courses. That does nothing for these players. But that rough, that humbles them.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, Oakmont is the most difficult of the whole rotation. You know, you can put Wingfoot in there. You know, there's some very, very difficult golf courses out there. But Oakmont's different, Brian, because Oakmont plays that way 365, man. You know, the rough is down a little bit, but those greens are the same speed. I've played Oakmont in August. I played it in October. You know, I played it when it's not a U.S. Open year. That place is brutal. I don't know how anybody is a member there is a normal person and enjoys it. It's so hard. But for U.S. Open, Brian, I think that, you know, you got to grow the rough, and they do. And they keep those green speeds at around 15 on the stiff. So with that crazy rough and the fast greens, that combination usually means that someone's going to be around par to win. And, you know, if JJ doesn't make that crazy long putt, two putts, nobody breaks par. He would have been even par, would have won the thing. So I find it incredible to go to Oakmont. I love it. It's been there 10 times now, the most of any venue in the rotation. And I think it's just a fabulous, fabulous place to host the U.S. Open. But it's brutal, man. It's really, really difficult.
I totally agree with you. I played it once. I broke 100, no big deal, by shooting a 99. But I'm cool with it. You know, Sands, a phrase you say a lot is keep your poise. And for all the talk of Rory and Scotty and who, you know, John Rahm, whatever else, I thought J.J. Spahn keeping his cool after whatever that was, the second or third hole when his ball hit the flag and bounced back 80 yards. I mean, just the mental wherewithal. That's a U.S. Open champion. Yeah, the USGA wants to grind you down, and if you can stand up to it, you can win that thing.
There you go.
JP, he started with 6-5. He started with 5 bogeys in his first 6 holes. One of them was insane, like you said, hitting the flagstick at 2. That ball would have probably ended up within 10 feet of the hole. Instead, it ended up 60 yards away.
Unbelievable.
That's just bad luck, but that's part of sports. I mean, you get the good, you get the bad. And like you said, man, keeping your poise is something you have to do, not only in sports, but in life. And JJ got punched in the face a few times in that first hour, hour and a half of that final round, and he hung in there. Shot a 3-under back 9 on Sunday to win the U.S. Open, going birdie, birdie at 17 and 18. You know the other guy who's ever done that? It's the 125th U.S. Open. The only other person who's ever done that, a guy named Ben Hogan.
Damn.
Wow.
He won it 4 times. He's one of the great players in the history of the sport. So, you know, I think that, like you joke about the poison, but it's so true. I mean, look, Sam Burns, okay? Sam Burns, pretty mellow guy.
Yeah.
When he didn't get that drop, when he was standing in the water and his golf ball was in the water, you know, if that were me, I would have gone, you talk about baseball order with the Nats, I would have gone full-fledged George Brett pine tar incident if they wouldn't have given me a ruling there. But, and, you know, it was insane how they did that. But Sam kept his poise, too. He just didn't play well coming out. That really
why,
messed
why
up.
Why didn't he get a drop there, though? Because standing water is a rule, right?
It is. There's a very... Yeah, I don't want to get too into the weeds, but the rules officials will tell you, and I fully believe, Brian, 100% that he should have gotten a drop. The rules officials will tell you there's this part of the rule as far as standing water goes that if it was not there before and it is there now and you can't see it, but you know it's underneath, you know, there's all kinds of intricacies to that rule, and I think that they did Sam wrong. I think Sam got robbed. Not of the U.S. Open, not saying he would have gone on to win, but he was robbed of the opportunity to win because from that point on, he was done. And I just can't believe that he didn't get a ruling there. I thought that was really wrong.
Especially
I think they should have blown the horn in that moment, right. And they should have blown the horn before they blew the horn. They should have blown the horn a second time, probably. But, you know, it's a TV show. Nobody wants to come back on Monday. The USGA's got business to attend to. The club does, too. There are a lot of factors that go into it. But Sam got robbed with that non-ruling there. and that was really, really bad, I thought, on his part.
You said earlier that Spawn bailed him out. He did. By making that big putt and that becoming kind of the seminal moment,
it
allows people to focus a little less on Burns standing in a puddle having to hit a ball. Sands, I know you get a little time off here. I know you got Tahoe coming up, but after that, how excited are you for the BMW Championship to be in Baltimore, to get to spend a week in Baltimore watching best golfers in the world? The money gets nuts. And, I mean, Kays Valley's just such an elite track.
Mm-hmm.
Time off, man. Come on, I'm heading to Hartford right now for the Travelers, man. Come
on. When are you going to the beach?
What's that?
When are you? I went
to the beach for a day, say hello to the missus, and then I'm heading to Hartford right now. And then
the fifth major,
like you said, then the fifth major, the Travelers Championship, and then we go from Tahoe to the Open or Royal Portrush, and the playoffs are going to be awesome, JP. Starting in Memphis, ending in Atlanta, but that middle one, man, the BMW being played at Caves Valley, one of the great finishes I've ever seen in any event. Whether it's a major, a regular season event, or a playoff event, was that playoff 4 years ago with Cantlay and DeChambeau. Caves Valley is a worthy golf course, really good track. Now, the guys will score on that course because when you give the best players in the world kind of mid-Atlantic soft conditions and in August and 4 par fives, you know, they're going to score on that golf course. But Caves Valley is awesome. The membership is great. The guys are looking forward to getting there. Having seen it 4 years ago, they know what kind of drama that Caves Valley can provide. It's going to be great. It's awesome to have the best players in the world in our area. I've always thought, and I know I'm a homer, and I've told you guys this before on and off the air, the fact that the PGA Tour doesn't visit the D.C., Baltimore area every single year, to me, as a sports fan, is criminal. So to have it back in our area, I hope the folks in the D.C. area, drive up to Baltimore and enjoy Caves Valley just like they did 4 years ago. That place was rocking, and the players put on a big-time show, and I think that's exactly what's going to happen again in August.
Let's do this if he's listening. August 12th, Mariners at Orioles. Danny Frank, let's get a setup. All the boys will meet at Camden. Maybe we'll go for the practice round, then go to Camden for the night. Maybe tip a few. Are you in on that, Sands?
Am I in? If you say Danny Frank and J.P. Finley, I'm in, man. Get me? By the way, you throw in beers, although Danny won't participate.
But he can drive. Beers, it's perfect.
You got a built-in designated driver there.
Yeah. No offense to everybody else and whatever buddy's favorite phrases are, but the two greatest words in the English language are free beer. Come on.
last thing for me, Sands. Have you picked the away games you're going to for the Commanders yet?
You know what's funny? I was just looking at that last night. I was just trying to map it out.
See you in Madrid, dog. See you in Madrid.
Schedule. I'm trying to get to Madrid, but I don't think we can do that one. But I'll tell you what is on the ledger.
Which one?
At Lambeau and at Kansas City. Those two have some serious potential.
No, that sounded like right up your alley. Thank you for making time, brother. Really appreciate it.
All right, Steve. Take care, brother.
You got it, fellas. Great.
The legend. Golf Channel, Steve Sands. Terrific, terrific interview right there. Coming back, and we're going to talk some luck at 1 o'clock. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. FanDuel is the best place to find all your favorite player props for the NBA Finals that's going to be happening tonight. And now you can make the smarter play with new performance trends. Want to check a player's consistency during the playoffs? Or maybe they've been flirting with a potential triple-double. Get the latest stats right inside the app and see who's heating up. And after the tip-off, you can combine live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win big. If you don't already have FanDuel, it's not too late to get in on the action. You'll get started with $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to join today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years or older and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We've conducted a number of investigations today. Some can't be brought to air, but shout out to Jeff. He's been investigating.
Yeah, we're back on the air.
And we have another investigation pending.
What did Jeff do wrong?
No, Jeff did. Jeff and I cracked.
Jeff did something right.
Jeff and I cracked a mystery this week.
I am shocked.
Shout out to Jeff. J-E-P-H. there's a new investigation afoot.
On who?
So there's cameras all over for the junks in the morning on Monumental, right?
Uh-huh.
And the cameras, I don't know what they're testing, but they keep putting Jeff on TV. And then landfill.
The possibility of us getting on air, Doc.
I don't know that. I'm saying.
That's what I'm thinking.
But then they put landfill on TV, and he used the force to remove himself. It was pretty impressive, landfill.
I hope they put a camera right in his face.
I feel like it's like Matt Orlando over at the Monumental offices, just messing with us. I feel like it's one of those engineers we know just screwing around. I want to go to the aquarium on this because we haven't talked to you boys yet. I'll start with Jeff, who generally is upbeat and quite an investigator.
Mm-hmm.
You think Davey should get canned?
Sound effects.
I'm on the fence about it because I get what he said, but I also know it's a time and place. Now, if he truly lost the clubhouse, yeah, he got to go because I had a coach that I didn't want to play for before, and I could tell you everything that he said, the team did the complete opposite because everything he was telling us was wrong. And even though I'm going to keep it 100. I went to a high school that was small, and we got, like, football-wise and stuff, we got punished sometimes. We only had, like, 16 people on the team.
You had 16 people on your high school football team?
Our whole school could fit in one gymnasium on one side. In our gymnasium.
Fairmont Heights?
Side. Yeah.
Shout out to the Pirates?
Fairmont? No, the Hornets. Don't ever disrespect us like that.
Well, I had no idea.
I will summon the whole Fairmont Heights Alumni Association.
Well, there's only 22
people.
Y'all. Who cares?
But now.
They only got three people on a basketball team.
No, our basketball team was always full. But the thing is, like B said, some players that will rub them wrong. We were kids and that rubbed us wrong. So I can only imagine someone who's actually being paid to play, how they are feeling. When they're coach, because the coach is a part of the team, and you're just throwing us under the bus. If you're throwing us under the bus, you're subliminally throwing yourself under the bus as well. So, I don't know if he lost the team, yes, but because some players not soft, you know, some players be like, hey, yo, coach, right? We are out here pooping the bed right now. We need to get it together. Now, if that's the conversation. In the locker room, keep him. But if that's not, if it's worse than what it is, you got to go.
Landfill, did you want to paraphrase that?
Not on air.
Yo, I feel like one day the text thread is going to just get so incriminating. Anyway.
Bro, I tell you, like I said, you notice I don't comment a lot. I know I'm going to say cool. Thumbs up
or okay.
Listen, I've said it before. If that thing ever go public, we are in trouble.
I mean, the three texts.
You know what I do too? I erase it. Every 2 to 3 days, I erase the whole damn thing.
The three texts I had before Landfill's last one weren't great either. Landini, you want him to fire Davey?
I think at some point you have to. It just gets to a point where it's kind of difficult. You get to a point where, like, the players are just kind of tired of hearing the same thing from the guy all the time. He clearly doesn't have any kind of, special. He's not going to do anything to make the team better. I mean, realistically, if we're talking about it, if he had that, he would have done it already. If he knew the way to get the team motivated to stop getting their asses kicked on a nightly basis, he'd have pulled that one. I think that sometimes you just got to make a change for the sake of making a change.
Yep.
I agree. Like, I don't think if you fire Davey and you promote whoever, Miguel Cairo, like, I don't think all of a sudden Vegas has to adjust the win total. You know what I mean? Like,
hello.
White Brian, you're a Mets fan. What do you want the Nats to do?
Keep him.
I think he wants to be fired.
Really?
I mean, we talk about him maybe misspeaking on these comments. What if he just the team's not giving him any money? His team stinks. He probably just wants to leave and make whatever he has left on his deal.
That's interesting.
That's a new
I hadn't thought of that. I tell you what, I think he misspoke once and he's a grinder and doesn't want to go anywhere. But if there's another comment similar to what it's never the coaching that kind of caused.
He says that again, then you know what? I'm completely off. I'm completely off trying to help him. And then my thing is, I'm just saying, like, I'm telling you, it's not just him. But he goes there again, then I can't help you, dog. I can't try to help you. Because if you go there again, you truly believe that crap. If you don't ever do it again, people can live with, oh, that was he just misspoke. But you can't say it's never the coaches.
Right.
The hell make you think you're invincible? You're perfect?
Ooh. Speaking of perfect, guess who just walked in?
The Rooster.
The one and only Chris Russell, the Rooster. I'm actually curious Rooster's take on this. Like, for me, if we were doing Blame Pie, and there's this person or website or
Who would you blame?
I think it's kind of an interesting discussion. So this person, Talk Nats, has been responding to my tweets a lot lately, and I think Talk Nats is a valuable voice in kind of like the Nats fan discourse. And Talk Nats has determined that I'm a learner blamer, but there's more than that blame to go around. And I know that it's become a talking point that...
Well, ask Talk Nats, does he think the learners deserve any blame?
If he doesn't, then he's one of the learners.
Yeah.
I still go 60-70% of the blame is on the learners. Now, I get that they haven't drafted well, and they're getting some of these young studs coming up, but a lot of those were acquired via trades. You got to draft better. That lands on Riz. I don't know that Davey is igniting the flames like he should be, but the players got to carry. I guess I go 70, 10, 10, 10. Okay. 70 learners, 10 Riz, 10 Davey, 10 on the players.
Panfield owns the restaurant. You're the GM. I'm the chef. He gives you no money. You buy BS food. What the hell do you think I'm going to make? You think I'm going to make
chicken, I hear you.
Chicken whatever out of chicken other stuff?
Right.
You know?
What's your blame pie?
I go with the ownership first because they're not paying to get the top-notch players, and they're not keeping top-notch players here. Then I go with Rizzo. He drafts, don't he?
Yeah.
Then I'll go with Davey.
I think the players,
The players follow Davey. But the players that you give him is what he got to work with. And if you're not drafting well, you're not giving him top-notch talent, what the hell is he going to do competing against all these better teams out there?
Sure. To me, it's ownership, and it's ownership by a significant margin. But that doesn't mean other people aren't included. I guess we have to reach out to his PR people, but we're going to see if we can get Chris Russell's Nats blame pie next. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
Hey, it's B. Mitch here. And in 2 days, me and my buddies are going to be riding the bike to the beach on June 20th. We're going to be riding all the way to Dewey Beach, and we're going to stop at the Beach House Hotel, which is just a block away from the ocean, and it's right in the heart of the action. We're riding to support autism and disability inclusion, and we're going to have a lot of fun doing it. 110 miles. Having fun to support a great cause. If you still got time to join my team, you can go to biketothebeach.org. That's biketothebeach.org. Go to team Riding 30, R-I-D-I-N apostrophe 30. Biketothebeach.org. Make sure you go out. And if you can't, just go to biketothebeach.org and make a donation. We would enjoy it. We'll appreciate it. And guess what? We're going to have a lot of damn fun.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe this song was written at a Georgetown bar.
Who told you that?
I believe that's accurate. Jeff, you've been investigating very well today. Please investigate that. That song is called Afternoon Delight. But we can't mess around. We'd have no time to mess around here. We were able to book the man, the legend, Mr. Steal Your Girl, Chris Russell. Hello, Roost.
That is just the dumbest nickname that my producer AMAC has come up with, which has no meaning at all. Like, make fun of me for whatever you want to make
stole
fun
somebody
of
woman.
I ain't stealing anything.
It's what Kenny Pickett did to Cody Betts.
Nah, obviously not, because Cody getting married.
That's true. Meanwhile, Kenny Pickett's just bouncing around.
I ain't stealing anything. I stole a couple of crawfish from your house, but that's about it.
You were very scared of that crab.
I was very scared of that crap. B tried to attack me.
That was a tough voice.
That was a tough moment.
So we have Mr. Steal Your Girl, Chris Russell. Yeah. I'm going to ask you a real sports question.
What's my fee for today?
You and Jeff are in negotiation.
You got nice shoes.
I mean,
compliments.
I asked
B
for
did compliment your shoes.
I appreciate that, B. It's you know, trying to be halfway human. I did ask for a free B. Mitch and Finley shirt because I saw Jeff wearing one and I said, oh man, that's really cool. Like, I got to get me one of those. So you said for Landfill to handle my fee with my agent. And I said, well, the fee that I wanted was my own shirt. I want to represent my favorite radio show.
We're working on it, dude. We're working on it.
I haven't taken a ruler to this thing, but it's at least 12 inches.
Oh, that's boy. Why it's Mr. Steal Your Girl. 12 inches.
Oh, Lord.
I'm gonna How did my grimace wind up in here, by the way?
You can have it back, please. Okay.
I don't know. It was left here. Yeah, it was right like, there when I got in here.
Like
there.
Everything
this,
else in this.
This is representative.
Oh, when you came to pick up your headset, I mean, your.
Show everybody your comrades. Grimace. I got you on the stream.
I didn't
when
bring
you came
it in
to
here.
Pick up your comrades,
I
you brought it. That was in
but
here.
But I did not bring it in here, so somebody else brought it in. This is representative of somebody else
I'm
that
trying,
works here.
I'm trying to ask you a real sport.
Okay, question. Sorry.
Okay. Mr. Steal Your Girl, in your opinion, do you think the Nats need to fire Davey Martinez?
Not right this second. But, I mean, the obvious easy spot to do it is if you lose two more in a row and it's 12 in a row and you're heading to Los Angeles, for God's sakes, and then San Diego and maybe San Francisco after
no,
that?
I
can't remember.
I think then it's the Angels.
Whatever.
I think it's LA,
I mean,
San
that,
Diego,
that would kind of like be the break, the natural break point, right? Davey, just don't hop on the flight. But I don't even think that's going to happen. I think they could lose the next two and 12 in a row. And head to Los Angeles, and Davey will still be the skipper. Part of it is because they know that it's not all Davey's fault. Number one, I nobody thinks it's not at all the manager or the coach's fault. Davey was ridiculous for saying that, but I didn't get the sense in listening to Rizzo this morning. And again, I kind of know Rizzo. I don't know him well. I know he's told media a lot of things over the years that the learners have then usurped him on. And that's what I kind of wonder about here. Is this a Rizzo doesn't want to fire him, but then the learners eventually see crowds of 9,000 for the Colorado Rockies in a 12-game losing streak in the middle of June and say, whoa, we got to change something. But I don't think Rizzo is going to fire him anytime soon.
The assumption that the learners would then step in implies that they're paying attention.
Yeah, that they care. They don't seem to care.
There's not a lot of indications they are.
I think they care about somewhat of their bottom line, though, right? I mean, if they're allegedly, like $500 million in debt.
Yeah, but that's from office space not being rented.
Understand, but some of that is baseball operations, too. And they look around, Monday night, Brady House debuted. Now, granted, the weather was awful. There's an awful opponent in town with 11,000. And that was tickets sold. That's not people in attendance. And for people that just pay attention, see, we do this in sports media and fans a lot. Oh, 11,000, probably like 7,000 or 8,000 in actual attendance. And that's a lot of hot dogs and sodas not bought and ice cream not bought that they don't get money on.
Parking.
And parking. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We try to do after it was kind of an interesting football season for us because for a long time on this program, we do our blame pie after losses.
Yeah.
This year we didn't do it very much. It was our victory pie, which is a much sweeter dish.
I loved it.
However,
I listen to this show every day.
I appreciate that. Now we're at blame pie situation for the mess that is the Washington Nationals. They've lost 10 in a row. They're 2-13 this month. Everything is going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
What is your blame pie for the state of the organization?
Mm. So we're using players as a whole, right?
I'll give you mine as
you
for
and
example.
Everybody.
Mine is 70% to the learners, mm-hmm. and then 10% each to Riz, Davey, and the players.
Okay, I'm gonna go 50% to the owners, but I'm gonna go 35% to the players. I think this is a player issue. I know you as I was driving in, I know what you said about like if you were in the locker room and whatever and how that would and that coach that you had the issue. I got all of that. I think Davey said what he said because he remember what happened with C.J. Abrams at the end of last year. Remember all the inconsistencies and the up and downs of C.J. Abrams last year, this year, Keibert Ruiz. Luis Garcia, guy's not catching foul balls, guy's not catching balls in the Bermuda Triangle area, if you will, of the outfield, short outfield. Guy's getting thrown out in consecutive
They're
nights.
They're terrible on the bases.
Like, I get coaches certainly help. They make a difference one way or the other. I got it. I'm not saying they are free of blame.
But if you said to me, hey, man, is it more Darnell Cole's fault that Keibert Ruiz is chasing a changeup 6 inches off the plate and below the knees? No, that's not Darnell. There's no chance Darnell Coles is not telling him, hey, man, you got to stop chasing. Like, Davey talks about it all the time. Every time they can't hit, he's like, we're chasing. We're chasing pitches out of the strike zone. How much can you tell?
But you know what good coaches do?
And they're young players, I get it. But
good coaches get those players to follow what they say.
I understand that, B, but you know this, right? You can ultimately, this is just the way I looked at it. Look at it. In any sport that we talk about, any sport that we cover, I'm almost willing to give the players most of the credit and a lot of the blame. I get it that you can advise somebody and get them hopefully to follow, but I don't know. People tell me, hey, man, you should not fight with people on Twitter. And I say, yeah, you know what? You're right. That's a great idea. I should really stop being that way. And then what do I do a week and a half later when somebody calls me a fat piece of, you know what? I start arguing with people instead of just blocking them. I'm a dumbass.
But maybe you shouldn't. But the whole thing is...
But you see what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, but...
Does that make CK a bad leader because he tells me to do one thing and then for a week and a half I pay attention and then I don't do it?
Well, the whole thing about it is, like, to be honest, what Davey said is completely wrong.
Yes.
It's never on the coaches.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's
wrong. I almost drove off the road Saturday afternoon and I was at that game.
But players... Yeah. So, like, if I'm coaching players...
Yeah.
And I'm telling them things to do... And if those players aren't doing what I'm asking them to do,
mm-hmm.
why the hell are they still in the lineup then?
Fair question. That's,
you said and, that a lot during Ron.
I'm going to always say, because if you're not doing what I'm asking you to do, and if I'm coaching you properly, then you wouldn't be on the field. But if you're doing what I'm asking you to do, then you're not playing great and things are happening and we as a whole look bad, that blame goes to leadership.
So,
to me.
So let me give you two examples, right? I don't think Luis Garcia does what they want him to do in a full holistic standpoint. So they have used Ahmed Rosario a lot more now, mostly against left-handers because he's a right-handed bat, whatever. But that has happened a lot more recently, and specifically at catcher. Keibert Ruiz, not only a bad defensive catcher, but in one of those swoons at the plate. And he is being rotated with Riley Adams, who stinks as well. But that's the point, is he didn't have many other options. Like, they sent down Robert Hassel, not hitting. Okay. Like, you can only do so much. Let me ask you this. All three of us can relate to this, right? We all love Dan Quinn. Well, I think we all love Dan Quinn. We all thought he did a great job last year. But he couldn't rescue and save Michael Davis. He couldn't rescue and save Benjamin St. Juice. You don't think they were trying to get those guys to play better or do different things? Ultimately, they are what they are. They're not good enough, not smart enough.
And they kept them off the field for the most part.
As and the year eventually, went on. They kept them off the field. Eventually, they did.
What
right?
I'm saying, you just name a multitude of players, starters and backups, that you say can't play.
Yeah.
That's not that player fault that they chose me and I can't play.
You run out of options, at some point.
It's a guy who picked me.
I got you. So, but you run out of options at some point, right? Yeah, I don't really care about the players. I care about me. That is true.
Landfill, did you notice that I asked Chris a real sports question, and within about 3 minutes, he made it about him fighting people on Twitter?
The biggest sausage in the party. Hey, man. Sausage.
Fans are pissed, dude.
Because I'm an idiot. The best part when I showed up to the B-Mitch Castle is he said sausage about 12 times. That's how I knew we were friends. Now I've just got to get him to show up in the hot tub and watch wrestling with me.
We're not doing that.
And then I know we're at a good spot. Now, horny woman.
If I do that, then I mean it. I'm saying that Davey has no blame.
If B-Mitch, ever ends up in a hot tub with Rooster watching wrestling, like, the world's going to end. Like, pigs are going to fly. That will be the end.
I got to go, boys, before I get in trouble, okay?
I know Thank you will. All right, that is Mr. Steal Your Girl, a.k.a. Chris Russell. Hear him daily, 2 to 6. Thank you, Roos.
2 to 6?
I don't know. It starts at 2. And the way that guy goes, it just never ends. He just keeps talking.
I tell you.
Belligerently. Sam Fortier, we're going to have a conversation about luck. Nobody go anywhere.
All right, guys, it is Chris Russell here of the Locked On Redskins podcast. And you know what? We normally talk about football, but now we're going to talk about sex. Yeah.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.